Hey everyone, this is Andy.
And this is Sam.
And we're the Spiteries. We started the Spiteries review series as a small Patreon side project, but it turns out that my wife is even better at podcasting than I am, so we're bringing the Spiteries review to the masses.
Starting this month, the Spiteries review will be available wherever you get your podcasts, so come and listen as Andy and I chat about the stuff we've watched and the things that we've done.
With brand new episodes every month, the Spiteries review is a peek into what life is like in the Spiteri household, and you never know when Link or Zora will make a surprise appearance.
We've even got older shows in the vault that will be rolled out over the next few months, including reviews on Mean Girls, Twilight, Spirited Away, Cowboy Bebop, and more. So make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Like they say, happy wife equals happy life.
Ugh, you're so lame.
So help us out by joining our Discord and subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. The Spiteries review is available now from SPNet. Hello everyone and welcome to the Zelda cast here on ZeldaDungeon.net. My name is Andy Spiteri, joined on this wondrous Sunday by my friend and yours, Allison Aletha. What's up, Al? How are you?
I'm everybody's friend.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got to say. I'm good.
That's great. Are you good? Are you bad?
I'm good. I feel like we might have talked a little too much this weekend already, Andy.
Wow. We did talk a lot this week, actually, to be fair. Not even podcasting. We had a late-night voice chat the other night.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Which is a special occasion. Usually it's just text, obviously, but this one was pertinent, so we decided to pull the old 9 o'clock voice call.
Yep,
been a lot of each other this week.
But yesterday was a fun conversation. So.
It was. Yeah. It was a funny conversation because we talked about the funniest moments in the Zelda series and also the best boss themes. And if you're sitting there being like, what are you talking about? I didn't see this episode come out. What? That you're lying. Let me tell you something. We are not lying, my friends, because right now that episode is going to be available. Not going to be. By the time you listen to this, it is available over on patreon.com/SPNet. We had a very fun bonus show of the ZeldaCast top 10s where we detailed the funniest moments in the series, which was a blast. And I dare say that our top 10 boss themes list was one of the better ones that we've ever done because it was a lot of different variety and some unheralded tracks as well from like Forest Swords, from Triforce Heroes. Like I almost called it Triforce Adventures for some reason, but some deeper cuts too to kind of go along with like your Ganondorfs and your Monk Mask Kashias, which, I mean, no spoilers at all. Those are showing up on the list.
Yeah, I think we were both, like, we both know that we tend to sometimes have similar things on our list, so we were both trying to find things that wouldn't be similar.
Correct.
So, it is, like, a top 10 list of things, but we were also trying to go a little bit outside the realm of what we would usually do, so I think that made these lists kind of fun.
Yeah, I had a good time putting this list together too, and I was telling Sam after she's like, how was your show? I was like, podcasting with Al is, you know, it's always easy, it's always a good time. So yeah, and it was a good time, and it's available over on patreon.com/SPNet for only a couple bucks a month. And by the way, if you are interested in some Zelda content, I know Allison has listened to every single one of these back and forth. There are 13 bonus episodes covering each individual episode of the Zelda cartoon. The legendary 13-run episode series of the Zelda cartoon. So there's episodes for each single episode over on patreon.com/SPNet as well. You can get it for $1. $1. $1 Okay. What we should do today here, Al, is indeed talk about Zelda. And we had a show planned a couple weeks ago, and we're still going to talk about this. And in fact, we were going to talk about this particular show that we had planned today. However, something came up that changed course. It changed our direction for this week. And it was an article that was published over on ZeldaDungeon.net. And I'd like to think that maybe they took a little inspiration from our episode a couple months ago now, I think. And this article is called Zelda Dungeon Presents Our Spiciest Zelda Hot Takes. So, this is exactly what it sounds like. There is going to be, so basically the way that this article is laid out, and you should definitely go read this article. We'll link it in the episode description here, and I'll throw it in chat to anybody watching us live on twitch.tv/TheZeldaCast right now. But what this article is a collection of all of the various staff writers who we really rely on a lot over on this show to do a lot of our heavy lifting. So thank you. We're doing it once again. But all of our various staff writers got together, and our leader and pal Rod Lloyd was like, "Listen, what is your worst Zelda opinions?" And so these writers dug deep into their psyche, into their souls, and they come up with a bunch of different Zelda takes that we are going to get to here today. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna rank them. We're gonna rate them actually on five different criteria. So there's a scale and there's five different options. And so very similarly to the show that we did a couple months ago. The only difference this time is that I've had a chance to read some of the Zelda hot takes. So I'm a little bit more prepared. I don't think you are though, Hale.
I am not prepared. So I was planning to read this, but I didn't. I forgot that this was a thing. And so I'm going to be surprised by all the hot takes.
Well, I know that there is at least a couple that you're going to be very unpleasantly surprised by, because I was unpleasantly surprised by a few. Some of them I was ready for, and I was just like, whatever. But but some of them I was truly, like, aghast when I read them.
I did see some of the grumbling from our staff chat, over Discord. So, but to be fair, I don't quite remember all those conversations. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we're gonna go through them, and we're going to assign them. So on our scale, back to my story here. So our scale has five levels, I guess. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Levels?
Five qualifiers.
Okay. and I don't know that, like, it's almost like the middle one is probably the best one here. So we have, at the bottom, we have Hebra Cold. So that's
not a hot take at all.
No. And it's kind of like, well, listen, what are you doing here? I got things to do. What are you wasting my time for?
Why wasting my time? This opinion is very mild.
Get that out of here. So that's Hebra Cold. The next tier, or the next level up, it's called Laneiru Chili. Okay. You know what, that's, maybe it's got a little bit of kick. Just a little. Not a lot, though, you know.
Not too much promise, to be honest.
No, I'm thinking, like, maybe that's like a samosa. You know, sometimes you eat a samosa and there's a little bit of spice to it, a little bit of kick. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Now, this is probably the best category to be in, which is neutral. And we actually didn't even name it anything neutral. Maybe, I don't know, highly and neutral. And that's just like, okay, let it cook. Let it cook. Yeah. I could maybe see this. Maybe, you know, we haven't veered into outrageously bad, which is upcoming. And we haven't veered into, like, yeah, this is like, okay, this is perfectly fine. So neutral, I mean, neutral might be the best one here. Although I'm looking at this like, are any of them really like that? Are any of them really like that? I don't know, like good to have? We'll see. The next level up is called Garuda Warm. We're almost there. This is spicy, but it's not quite spicy enough to be a flaming hot take. It's,
like, you'll get heat stroke, but you won't die of fire.
That's,
you know,
correct. Yeah, you'll probably hurt yourself, but like you're gonna be able to recover. Like maybe like third degree. Wait a sec. What's worse?
First degree burns.
Speaking of,
sidebar, I burned the heck out of my arm last weekend, and it's, like, really bad. I got a really long, I'm not going to show it on camera, but, like, a really long red gash.
What happened?
That's a first-degree burn. I was baking bread, and I touched the pan that I had preheated in the oven.
Oh, my goodness. All right, since your sidebar, I'm going to tell a quick sidebar here on my own. And like I mentioned, we're live on Twitch, and if my wife is watching, she's gonna hate that I'm saying this, but this is true. So her her grandmother gave us this this slow cooker gimmick, right? That like you lock in the lid or whatever as it's building pressure. And so this is a few years ago. This is and I bet you were here for this actually. So it's like 7 o'clock. Sam is making dinner or whatever. She got like this lid on, and she's like, I cannot get this lid off. And I am on a Discord call with the entire Zelda Dungeon writing staff, leading a writing team meeting, like in the middle of saying, like, this is how many daily debates we had this month. This is how many posts Judy had or whatever. And an Instant Pot. Thank you. And so I'm just like, I got my headphones in or whatever, and I take it off, and this thing explodes everywhere. It gets all over my arm, all over my feet, and like burns the hell out of me.
Oh my God.
While I'm on call with all the Zelda Dungeon staff, and I'm like, ah. And so Sam had to take me to...
Why don't I remember this?
Well, because I muted myself instantly before, and I don't know. I think I was just like, Rod, start talking, please. And I think I gutted through the rest of the meeting, but then Sam had to take me to emergency, like, right after.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So that's, you know, Gerudo Hot isn't quite the level that Al and I have experienced here, but...
I feel like, yeah, the next one up would be.
Yeah. Next one up is bad. And that is called Elden Hot. You don't want to be Elden Hot. I mean, there's very few takes, I feel like, nowadays that can be Elden Hot, you know, like, because I feel like you and I, we're veterans of this Zelda business. We've kind of been around a while. We've seen a lot of things. We've heard a lot of things. Not a lot phases me anymore, but I do have to admit, there was one thing on this list where I was just like, that is truly despicable. Like, okay. That is truly <I'm ready. laughs> awful. So I guess without further ado, now that we've set the table here and given everybody the rules of engagement here, should we just get going?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Let's start off. This is from our pal, Sean, one of our most tenured writers. Great guy. Probably the best roommate I've ever had at the Zelda Dungeon Marathon, actually.
Oh, nice.
We ended up, like, just bunking together for an entire week somehow, which is strange because, like, you move rooms most of the time. Anyways.
Right.
This is Sean's hot take. Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom are just too damn big for their own good.
All right.
I have one in mind. What do you think?
I honestly think this is a very neutral take. Like, I don't think it's quite too cold, because I feel like some people think that the world is fine and that they're okay with exploring all of it. They're okay with doing whatever. But I do think that some people are like, no, this is way too much. I can't handle this. So I feel like this is very neutral for me.
I was going to say Lanayru Chili, actually, because I think that you would see people potentially agree with that. And I think that before, you know, I think it might have been neutral before Tears of the Kingdom. I do think that as much as everybody, you and I and everybody listening probably loves Tears of the Kingdom, I think that people could probably admit that there's maybe like a bit of excess there. Mm-hmm. So I would say Lanayru Chili, but you're saying neutral. What do you think? Should we just go neutral then?
I would be okay with moving down to Lanayru Chili, because, like, I do hear the grumbles. I do hear people be like, this is too big. Even the people who love this game are never going to 100% this game. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's a little too much. So I get it.
So I've got sound effects for every single thing that we do. So if anyone was listening to Al talk and she was shot with an ice arrow, that's why. This is the sound effect for Lanayru Chili. One more time. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, you know, like, you're right. Like, I would say more so on the Tears of the Kingdom side than Breath of the Wild, just because I feel like Nintendo felt like they had to add extra value to that game, because we'd kind of done a lot of similar stuff in Breath of the Wild, and like, it, you know, the game costs a couple bucks more, so there was just a little bit of, there was a little bit of excess there. Like, the Addison signs, I think, were too many. The Koroks returning for the same prize, too many.
Yeah.
I think there was a little bit too big there. Too much excess. Okay. Nick Miller wrote this. I promise you Andy Spiteri did not write this. Nick Miller wrote this. Twilight Princess has some of the ugliest character models in any game ever.
This is Hebra Cold.
This is Hebra Cold. Nick, I love you, buddy, but...
Honestly, so first of all, he included a picture with this, and, like, every character is not great looking, except for, what is this guy's name, Ronaldo? From
Caprica
Village?
I was
going to
say, Ronaldo, I don't think it's Ronaldo, Renard, or, I don't know what his
Roland?
Name is. Who knows? He looks cool, actually.
He looks actually pretty great, you know? Yeah. But everybody else is just, like, I've always said this about Twilight Princess characters, like... Obviously, the ones that are main characters that you talk to more, they have a little bit more 3D to them, but everybody else is such 2D print flat on their faces, and it's so weird to look at.
You know what this is right here? These characters, you know when you first start playing Super Mario 64, and you see Mario's big face, and you could grab his cheeks, and you could pull down his head, and you can like adjust the way that his head looks, and he looks like this mutant life form after you're done?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, like, every single character in Twilight Princess looks like this to some degree. And you know what? I get it. It's a stylistic choice. It's the Tim Burton kind of style. And it is a unique style. I mean, let's give credit where credit is due, I think. But it's... God damn, it's ugly. It is just ugly. And you know what? I've been trying to say that this is, like... I've not been trying to dump on Twilight Princess as much because, you know, it was a running gimmick of ours, a running gag. But, you know, the gag is also like 6 years old. So I was like, okay, everybody knows Twilight Princess is ugly. That's fine. Let's look at some of the positives here. But
right,
you just look at all this. You look at this motley crew assembled in the picture on this article. And it's just like, jeez, Louise, this is one ugly mofo game. There's no other way to say it.
Except for I looked up his name. Renato.
Yeah.
It'd bug me if I did that. So Renato, he looks great. Everybody else, oh, so much.
Yeah. You know what? The Gorons actually also have a chance to look cool, but they're undone by whatever is happening on their nipple.
Mm,
I mean, that's just strange.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a weird one. Okay. This is from one of our new writers, Aubriel. And this, I think... You know what? Let's read it first. So she says, Fee is a good character.
Okay.
I am going to say... So my initial thought was to give this a Hebra Ice Cold. But I do think I could maybe move it up to Lanayru Chili. And the only reason for this is because I think that, like, most people, if you play Skyward Sword, I think, like, you can acknowledge that, like, Fee is kind of like annoying in certain spots because she's reminding you of like, hey, your batteries are low, or hey, you've got this whatever that you've already got a bunch of times. But I also think that like most people can separate that from like the character development in the game, or at least I can.
I'm gonna say this is Hebra Cold for me, because if the statement was actually Fi is a good companion, I would say that's more of a hot take, because a lot of people don't really like her as a companion, but her character arc is actually really good. So, and like, she's robotic, she was created by Hylia to be like this robotic guide, but then she winds up kind of having feelings and realizing she is sad when her and Link have to separate. And you see more iterations of her, or like callbacks to her in the future of the series. So like, I think she actually is a very good character. So this to me is like Hebra Cold. But if we started talking about like the companion part of it and how annoying she can be, I would say this is more of a hot take.
I guess the only reason I was willing to say like it's not like Hebra Cold is because I do see some people point out that like her at the end of the game, and in that amazing scene, the Fee's farewell scene, is that like people are like, you know, that was a bit quick from going from like purely robotic to like thank you and everything like that. I disagree with that. Like I think that one, there were definitely signs, and two, like the mission is over, so now she can kind of speak from the heart, so to speak. Okay, you know what? Let's play it. Hebra Ice Cold. Sorry. But yeah, I don't disagree with that. And I do think that most people... I don't know. Like, it's kind of funny. Because, like, we talk about Midna a lot. Like, I think Midna's a good character. But I don't like Midna, you know? Not really. But I think those things can coexist simultaneously. So I think the same can be true here of Fee. So that would be my thought anyways.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay. Here we go. Seria's song from Ocarina of Time is the most overrated song in the Zelda franchise and is objectively bad. Ooh, what do you think? Is that Elden like, hot or is that?
So, no, I'm so excited for this take. I do think it's spicy. I think it's Gerudo.
I think it's too. Okay, here we go. That's the Rupors. That's the Rupors theme. One more time. That's a bad take.
You think it's a bad take, but I'm excited because I've always not really liked this song. I've always thought it was kind of actually annoying. And it fits like the Lost Woods, but it doesn't really fit Saria. So I always kind of was like, I don't really like the song and it gets on my nerves and a lot of people really like it and I don't really care for it.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Here's why this take is wrong. You can't call a piece of music objectively bad. I mean, you just can't. Saying. Like I can sit here and thump my chest and pound my fist and swash on my coffee and be like, you know what? Country music sucks. Country music is the worst drivel that I've ever heard, and it is objectively the worst genre of music. And I believe that deep in my soul. But like, millions of records played and millions of concerts sold out and millions of streams and you know what, prove me wrong, right? Like, it's not objectively bad. So that's the thing about music, is like you can't call it objectively bad, right? So that's one thing that I think makes this a not a very good take. Now, opinion wise yeah, I could buy that somebody doesn't like Seria's song. It's short, it loops, it's, you know, it's higher pitched. I could see where it could maybe get on your nerves, particularly if you're like in the Lost Woods and maybe get turned around a couple times and you're like, oh, jeez, I have to go do this again. Mm-hmm. I think it's a charming song and I think it fits Seria and the Kokiri Forest like quite well, actually. So I like the song. It's not my favorite in the entire game, but like,
right.
I think it's just a nice theme that's been remixed, and you know, like it's just like a nice bass theme that I'm perfectly fine seeing different interpretations of.
I think that's fair. I personally find it very obnoxious, and so I was really excited when I first saw this take, and I was like, oh dang, I'm so glad to know some other people are not fans of it as well. But I do think it's spicy because I do think it is a fan favorite song.
Yeah, it's definitely a spicy take. That's for sure. I don't know. Like I said, I can see why, and like I like Seria's song, but I don't feel that strongly about it, where I'm just like, this isn't like an Elden hot take. Not yet.
Yeah.
It's close. Yeah. It's close, but not quite yet.
That's like saying Kokiri Forest is like a horrible song. I feel like that would be
that's
more
horrible.
Of a...
Yeah. Yeah. That's terrible. Well, speaking of Elden hot, here we go. This next one is from, again, John wrote this, not Andy Spiteri, but...
oh my god.
The Zelda cartoon is pretty great, actually. What is that Elden hot, or is that Goron spicy? I personally think it's Goron spicy.
You mean Gerudo warm?
What did I say? Goron spicy? Jesus. Goron spicy.
I really don't know how to feel about this, because, like... I feel like the cartoon is fine in a lot of ways, but I feel like the humor is really aged, especially because of a lot of the...
innuendo?
Just innuendo and dumb jokes that Link makes about Zelda, and vice versa, and the fairy makes about Link, and I just think it's, like, one of those things that's so unnecessary and kind of sleazy. So I personally would say it's a Gerudo warm take, but, like, I think that the premise of the cartoon is actually fine. You know, like, it's hard for me to say.
Play it. There's the Rupor. One more time. I'm having
like,
way too much
of
fun with
this.
Like, jokes
would not fly today. Like, I don't think you could actually make this today.
No, this show would never get made today in its current iteration, which is actually kind of why I like it as much. And listen, I... Like, again, and if you want bonus episodes detailing every single 13 episode run, that's available over on patreon.com/SPNet. But, like, there's definitely some sleazy humor, for sure. There's definitely some innuendo. I I do think that it's maybe not as much as everybody who hasn't watched it in a long time probably thinks. It's there, but it's not like in your face constantly all the time. There's maybe like a joke or two per episode, and that's kind of it. Other than the obvious running gag that like Link wants a kiss from the princess, and the princess is usually willing to give it to him, and then something happens where they never get it. So like, and that, but to me that's just like a funny running gag. But I could see where. I definitely see why people don't like it, which is why I'm like, yeah, this is, what the hell is it called? I was about to say Goron Spicy again.
Gerudo Warm.
It's Gerudo Warm. So I think it takes a certain type of appreciation or an acquired taste, let's just say, to enjoy this. Because you're right, you would never make this show today, and it's just... It's just funny because like they made this show and they were like, okay, at the time there's only one Zelda game and Link doesn't really have a personality. So like we have a blank canvas. We can do anything we want with this guy. We can make his personality anything we want. Should we make him like chivalrous? Should we make him adventurous? Should we make him brave? And it's like, no, he's just a complete slime ball. Like, I don't know. It's just like...
So unfortunate. Like, it's just, especially now that we have like almost 40 years of Zelda telling us the opposite about Link, it's just kind of funny. And I will say there's like some stuff that I remember from it. Like, I don't know, some of the hokey jokes that I would think are funny. And some of the like outrageous things that Link has done. Like, there's this popular meme now, especially after Breath of the Wild, where he does like a shield jump on a bomb.
Amazing.
Which is very Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. And so, like, it's kind of funny that that's come full circle. So, and like, Ganon is really funny in this as well. So, there are things that I like about it, but sometimes it's hard for me to get past the slime ball Link to actually really appreciate and like him.
And you know what makes it worse too is like, you know how I was just saying like there's not as much as you think of slime ball Link. Unfortunately, like the series literally starts with like one of Link's slimiest moments where he's spying on Princess Zelda and is just like, nice view. It's just like, oh.
That's just unfortunate.
So, which gets it started off on a little bit of the wrong foot, admittedly. But this show, man, like it has bomb jumping like we've seen our pal Catherine do. It has wall merging like we'll see in Link Between Worlds. Basically, King Harkinian is in the CDI games is based off King Harkinian in this show. Like, this show really did have like a lasting impact in a lot of way on the series. For I don't know, better, I guess. I'd say the worst parts are mostly just contained here. So they took some took the good parts of this show, but. Yeah, that's a little bit of a spicy take, I think, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, this next one is from Connor Butler. A Link Between Worlds is better than A Link to the Past. I am gonna play the neutral theme.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that this is... It's not a cold take, because I think A Link to the Past is obviously beloved, and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a hot take, because I think that A Link Between Worlds is also universally regarded as an exceptional Zelda game, which it is. Mm-hmm. I think it's somewhere right in the middle, and I guess it probably depends on, I would guess, when you came into the Zelda series.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if you came in after A Link to the Past, you're probably looking at A Link Between Worlds, even if you played A Link to the Past retroactively, which I did, and I was like, man, this game is awesome. But there's a lot of like really killer things about A Link Between Worlds too, which I think tend to prefer Link Between Worlds.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I personally think that A Link Between Worlds is better, but I would agree with what you said. Like, I think it depends on when you came into the series. And, like, I came into the series on A Link to the Past, and it's my brother's favorite Zelda game. He refuses to play A Link Between Worlds because he is such a hardcore Link to the Past fan. And I'm like, you might enhance your experience. Anyways, it's an ongoing fight. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think that there's some really devoted A Link to the Past fans, but, like, and it's such a solid game. Like, don't get me wrong. It's such a good Zelda game. Like, pretty top-tier Zelda game. But I also think it's really hard. I also think that... you can get it done really quickly, and there's not a lot of personality to it, whereas A Link Between Worlds, there's a ton of personality, there's a ton of, like, really clever puzzles for you to do, and it to me, it livens up the game, A Link to the Past. So I would agree, I think this is neutral, and it just depends on, like, what side of the scale you're on when it comes to these two games.
Yeah, I'm just thinking here. I think I would agree with your critique of A Link to the Past. I don't think that it's a hard game for me personally, but I've heard that a lot. I would probably say that I think that it's lacking in personality as well. I think that's a fair critique. I think that... I guess this is, like, the definition of, like, the middle, right? Because, like, if someone was just like, A Link to the Past is the greatest Zelda game that I've ever played, I'd be like, okay, yeah, I could totally see that.
Yeah, cool.
And if someone was also just like, you know, A Link to the Past was great for its time, but A Link Between Worlds has kind of supplanted it, I'd be like, yeah, sure.
Okay.
Now, we're going to run into something similar to this in a little bit here. So I do want to point out, not to sound hypocritical, like, it's going to depend game to game. And of course, our personal opinions are going to influence how we feel. But
right.
For me, like, I love both games, but I don't feel so strongly about either that I'm just like, no, that's like sacrilege, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And if somebody ever was to put these two games in front of me and was like, you have to choose one to play, I would pick A Link Between Worlds because I feel like it is the better and more fun game to play.
Okay, let's go on to this one. This is from our pal, Charles Xavier. Charles is a big lore guy. Like, he really loves all that lore stuff. And I like myself a little bit of lore too, but when it makes sense. And this is his hot take. The Hero is Defeated timeline is the only valid progression of events after Ocarina of Time.
I feel like that's a hot take. I'll go Gerudo Worm with that. But I guess I'm also confused by his meaning.
Listen, I don't know. I don't really care. I always feel bad when I kind of dump on things that other Zelda fans care about, because I don't mean to be dismissive. Just like, the whole timeline business is just so not my thing. I think it's dumb. I think it's silly. I don't care. I don't care about the order of events. Like, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. If there's a game that's a direct sequel, that's great. If there's a game that references previous games, that's great. I do think that the Hero is Defeated timeline was, like, particularly dumb, though. So I guess I would agree with you that this is a hot take. Just because, like, I don't know, it just seemed dumb. Like, I don't know about you, Al, but I never lost to Ganondorf playing Ocarina of Time in my 25 years of playing that game. Like,
Andy, we literally sat next to each other when I died to Ganon twice. Like,
well, I've never lost to Ganon. Yeah, I guess you're right. That timeline was screwed.
That timeline was screwed twice. So yeah. I mean,
hey, I guess Charles is right then. That's the only way.
I don't know if I really agree with what Charles is trying to say in his statement. Like, I was trying to read ahead and he brings up quantum mechanics and stuff, and I don't know about any of that. Anyways, what I would agree with, like, that isn't too spicy of a take, I think, is more kind of neutral, is that I feel like it's valid regard, like, all three are valid, and, like, saying that Link died is also valid, and it's fine, and I think that explanation for the timeline was okay to me, but saying it's the only valid one doesn't make sense, because obviously you can beat Ganondorf. I don't know. Charles starts talking about science in this, and I've never been a science person. Sorry.
Too long, don't read that Charles literally writes at the end. It's like, Hero's Defeated timeline is the only timeline split that is naturally formed according to quantum theory. Brother,
I'm so sorry.
I'm not an atomic fission rocket scientist. Like, I don't care. I'm sorry, brother. I don't care. And I feel bad because I think the last time we did a staff feature, Charles also had, like, a something related to the timeline. Aww. And I said something similar. So, Charles, I love you, buddy. I do.
Sorry.
And you know what? I'll throw Charles a bone because he did have a really cool lore idea from several years ago, which I kind of like, actually, which was that the events of Triforce Heroes were basically, like, they were in, like, a novel. In the in-world events of Zelda, somebody picked up a book, like a fictional book, and read the events of Triforce Heroes. He compared it to the Three Musketeers.
That's
cute. And that's kind of cool.
I actually really like that.
Like that, yeah. Because it makes Triforce Heroes canon, but not canon. Like, that's great.
Yeah, I love it.
But this, I don't know, man. This is like Interstellar to me. Like, and it's just like, whatever. I don't know. Okay.
Maybe this is just neutral because we don't understand it. So let's just say it's neutral.
Probably. We're probably just dumb that we don't get it.
Yeah.
So, sorry, buddy. Okay. This is from Judy Calder, JC. Mipha is not a likable character.
Dang. I feel like that.
I'm gonna play it.
I think that's spicy. Elden Hot, huh?
Elden Hot. Yeah. One more time. There it is. Yeah, I don't agree with this at all. I think she's like one of the most likable characters in the series, actually. this is JC's rationale. She actually calls her a wet wife, which is...
I know, I just read that too.
That's a great put down, actually. You wet wife? Let's see. I don't know. So, the reality is Mipha is an absolute wet wife. She's the perfect, kind, and compassionate character, which makes her feel very banal. And there's the fact that she's obviously in love with Link, which is even more boring in and of itself. I don't know. I don't agree with that. I think that there's like a certain grace to her, not no pun intended, that just comes with her being like this great character. And I do think that you have this this good story built in with like her being in love with Link. Because like, I think that everybody probably knows that it's not going to work out. It's not meant to be. Like, there's factors that are going to deny. And I think that Mipha probably knows too. That, like, she can see Zelda right there. You know, it's just not dumb. So I think that there's like a little bit of tragedy there. So I think that Mipha is a great character. Now, again, can I see JC's side? Yeah, I guess. Like, Mipha doesn't have a lot of faults or anything like that. But I don't know. I see a character that loves her brother, loves Link, is a warrior, fights. I think she's great.
I think this is a hot take because a lot of people really like her. I personally go back and forth with Mipha. I feel like sometimes she can be really annoying to me. But then, and this is also too, like when I'm speedrunning Breath of the Wild and I'm sick of hearing her voice and I'm like, I'm over it, Mipha, let me just fight this blight and move on. But like, then I do see some of the story aspects and you do learn a little bit more about Mipha in like the cutscenes and like Age of Calamity. You learn more about like the kind of person she wants to be, that she wants to be strong for the people that she cares about, and that she cares about her people very deeply, and that she cares about her brother very deeply and Link very deeply. I do think that I've always thought this, but the Zora and Hylian relations is really weird to me because the Zora are so much older. She's like,
not the whole fish part. Admired,
well, that too, but like, she's admired him since he was a kid and she was already an adult. And then she's like kind of watched him grow up and be like, oh, I'm in love with this person who I will be 400 and he'll be 20, or I don't know how it works.
What do you think of the Aragorn and Arwen romance from Lord of the Rings then?
Well, we don't need to get into
Arwen
that.
Arwen knew like... Aragorn's great, 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 great grandfather. Like,
yeah, I just think that stuff kind of makes me uncomfortable because, like, you also look at the Hylian man and the Zora little girl, but she's actually older than him in Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. I can't remember their names, but that also weirded me out. So there's something about that kind of weirds me out a little bit. But aside from that, I do think Mipha is a likable character when you take the chance to get to know her and know that she is like a very just, pure character. I just get annoyed with her sometimes, so I get it. But it's overall a pretty Elden hot take.
Yeah, that's an Elden hot take right there. I almost played it, but I didn't. I'll play the regular one. We have to save the other one for a bit. Okay, let's go on. This is a entry from Jared Eubanks, who says the next brand new Zelda game should be a 2D adventure on the Nintendo Switch. I'm gonna play neutral. Okay. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Let it cook.
Yeah.
I would be fine with that, actually. Like, but again, it depends. It depends on a lot of things. Like, it depends on when the Switch 2 is coming out. Which I feel like right now, pretty much everything depends on when the Switch 2 is coming out. I'm surprised that we haven't seen it already. I'm surprised that we don't know anything about it already. Because I mean, it's got to be coming out this year. Like, I just can't believe that it will not come out in 2024. I really can't. Mm-hmm. If for some unholy reason this thing is not coming out until 2025, yeah, I could see a brand new Zelda game, a 2D Zelda game on the Switch to hold us over until then. Because, like, you're going to need something for November. That's, like, your big Black Friday sale event of the year. Like, and there's nary a Nintendo Switch game in sight past Paper Mario, whenever that comes out at the end of the month. So, like, they're going to need something. So I think that it's not a cold take because, like, it's not certainly not guaranteed to happen. It's not a hot take because I think a lot of people would like it. I think it's a degree of, you know, maybe this could come true.
Mm-hmm. I personally don't think it's a very hot take. I might even go to La Nera Chili personally because I think that there should be something to hold us over regardless of it if it's on Switch or Switch 2 until the next big 3D console Zelda game. And I would love for a new 2D Zelda game to kind of be that thing that holds us over. Mm-hmm. So I would personally be totally okay with this as long as it's not coming in the place of 4 years from now in the place of the next 3D console Zelda game. That's when I would think it would be a hot take.
Yeah, I think that that's, yeah, like if we knew something about the Switch 2, like let's just say that we knew that it was coming out in December, this would be a hot take, I think. But since we don't know, I think it's a perfectly fine take for right now. Okay, let's move on. This is from Heather Beard. You ready?
I guess so.
I'm ready to play it. Okay, Ocarina of Time has lost its appeal due to fans' nostalgia.
I don't understand. I guess I just don't understand.
One more time. Heather, I love you. I think this is a bad take. I really do. And I think that there's some objective fact that would suggest that this is a bad take.
I just don't quite understand. Like, it's because of the nostalgia that it's lost its appeal?
Yeah, you know what? That's worded a little bit weird. I mean, I think what she's generally saying is, like, the game doesn't hold up anymore, and the only reason that people love it so much is because of nostalgia for it. I will tell you, so a few objective things. One, this is still rated, like, one of the best. It might be the number one rated game of all time, and I'm pretty sure that it might be still. I don't know that for a fact, though, but, like, for years and years and years and years and years and years, Ocarina of Time was the number one rated, and it still is. It's the number one rated game on Metacritic.com, and has been so since it released in 1998. So, I mean, like, say what you will about reviews, but, like, that tells you something. Number two, this game has been voted for the last 5 years by our Zelda Dungeon staff as the best Zelda game.
True.
So, like, now, her thing is, like, people only vote that way due to nostalgia.
Read what Heather said. It says, I feel that as a fan base, we have become a little belligerent to anyone who doesn't say that Ocarina of Time is their favorite Zelda game, and that we forget about where the series has gone since the game's release. All of their great parts are forgotten because we haven't been able to move past clinging to nostalgia. So what I think she's saying is because people get upset that when you don't say Ocarina of Time is your favorite, that's why it's kind of lost some appeal in her eyes. And I can understand that statement, but I think that's because you're dealing with like the hardcore fanboy mentality where it's just like, oh, how dare you say something like other than Ocarina of Time. That I feel like that's not our community at all.
Be honest, I've never seen that Twitter and Zelda. I've certainly never seen it in Zelda Dungeon.
We would, like, us personally, we would tell it it's a hot take that that Ocarina of Time is, like, bad game. We would get upset by that. But we don't care if it's not, like...
Yeah.
But I do see that in fandoms where people get really, like, upset when you say something that they like isn't your favorite. Yes. And I would agree. Like, that's really obnoxious. It's really bad gatekeeping mentality. I hate it. So I totally get where Heather's coming from. So maybe this isn't as hot as I thought it was. I think, like, there's a turn off from that side of the community.
I still think it's a hot take because I've never seen this. Like, I don't know where she hangs out. Maybe some other Zelda servers, but, like... I don't know, man. Like, I've never, like, we had multiple people be like, Breath of the Wild is the best Zelda game I've ever played. And it's like, yeah, I totally get you. Like, Link to the Past is the best Zelda game I've ever played. Like, yeah, I could see that. Tears of the Kingdom, best Zelda, like, Yeah, you know, like, we have some fun when people say Twilight Princess, but I mean, like, if someone had said Twilight Princess, like, yeah, great dungeons, great story, good music. Mm-hmm. That's, like, I don't know. I don't think that, I think that when some people say, as we'll talk about later, because there are people that kind of like to just, like, make a bad faith argument. I think that, like, Ocarina of Time, people only like it because of nostalgia. And, like, that's, it's not true. Like, it's still just, like, an awesome game to play. Like, it's paced perfectly. The dungeons are awesome. Like, it really is super, super smooth to play, even to this day. Like, you know, almost 30 years later, which is crazy. So, It's, yeah, I think this is a hot take. I don't think it's right. I don't see a lot of gatekeeping in terms of, like, oh, if you don't like Ocarina of Time, you're not a real Zelda fan. Mm-hmm. I will say this. I've seen more of that on the Metroid side, where, and Super Metroid is one of my favorite games. It's probably my second favorite game after Ocarina of Time. I did see a big Metroid account be like, if you don't like Super Metroid, what are you even doing? You're not a Metroid fan, which is, you know, that's just silly, right?
Yeah.
Like, like, but I've never seen that on Ocarina of Time.
It does kind of want to turn you away from certain aspects of the series, you know? Yeah. It does kind of make you want to feel less involved, because then you don't have to deal with that. And in our immediate circle, I don't feel like we see that, so...
Hmm.
But that's not to say it isn't happening for anybody else out there.
Yeah, and I mean, if it does, like, hey, if you think Ocarina of Time sucks, like, okay, that's fine. Like, that's totally fine. Like, and if you're like, damn it, like, Triforce Heroes is the best Zelda game I've ever played, it's just like, great, that's awesome. I actually did have somebody say that once. They I can't remember, like, what article it was. Yeah, it was in a comment on some article on Zelda Dungeon, and I think their comment was like, I actually love Triforce Heroes more than Ocarina of Time. And I was like, that's awesome. It makes me want to die, but, like, that's awesome. Like, good for you,
no,
buddy.
That was our Hot Takes episode.
Was it the Hot Takes episode?
Yeah, that was our Hot Takes episode a couple months ago.
Well, there you go. That, I mean, I won't lie. It does make me want to die, but, like, that's totally cool. Like, if you love what you love, man. Like, if you love Triforce Heroes, that's wicked. So I guess in the context of what Heather is saying, like, that's, yeah, that's fine. I guess I just haven't seen that. Anyways, let's move on. This is from Michael Jensen. Breath of the Wild has the strongest story of any Zelda game.
Nah, that's a hot take. That's an Elden Hot. Or it could be Gerudo Worm, but I feel like the best story, the strongest story of any Zelda game would be Skyward Sword.
I think so. I would also agree it's not quite Elden Hot. You're right. I think that it's probably... Why do I keep on wanting to call it Goron Spicy? What's wrong with me? Gerudo Worm.
I don't know. Probably because we did have Goron Spicy in our last set. We should go back and look at our last qualifiers and actually make them solid qualifiers.
Okay. One more time. There's the Rupor song. You know what, though? I think that Breath of the Wild story is quite good, like, in its own merits. Like, I think that Princess Zelda is quite good in this story. I like the champions. Maybe I'll retract what I said. I think that the character development in Breath of the Wild is quite good. Like, there's a lot of, like, really nice character moments. I do think as a continual story, though, it's a little bit disjointed. It's a little bit... there's a lot of, like, plot holes for me. Like, again, everybody hates when I say this, but I still have not found an acceptable answer to this. Like... Why didn't Calamity Ganon just take over the Divine Beast, like, a million years ago? His malice, it grew when he was in prison. Like, okay, great. Like, I don't know. Whatever. So I don't like that. It's like, what were Zelda and Ganondorf doing for 100 years? Like what was she doing? Nobody really knows. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of things in the actual story itself that are kind of like, eh.
I was trying to read, like, what Michael was trying to say as far as, like, the justification for this. He says it because it's one of the rare games where the player and the character are truly aligned in their goals. This gives the player complete freedom to pursue exploration as they wish without feeling that they are abandoning the main mission. So but that's not what I consider as story.
No,
and I'm sorry
I don't
if
either.
I'm not. I'm sorry if I'm not paraphrasing this correctly, Michael, but I feel like when you're talking about strongest story, I'm talking about, like, story-driven elements that are concise and in told in a way where it makes total sense from front to end. And like Breath of the Wild, you can make sense of it along the way, but I don't think you should have to make sense of it. I think it should make sense, you know? Like, yeah. did that make sense?
Yeah, like I feel like if you're playing a game and you have multiple questions about what you just saw, that can be interesting because you can delve deeper into it. But like when you have multiple like glaring plot holes like you do in Breath of the Wild, it's just kind of like, huh? And then when you look at the events of the actual game itself, it's like, what actually happens? Like, I know that you take down the Divine Beast and you meet Sidon and you meet all the rest of the lot. But like in the current like timeline, like the current, like the present, that's the word I was looking for, the present, there's not a lot that actually happens. Like, you basically just get the Divine Beast and go to Hyrule Castle. Tears mm-hmm. of the Kingdom, for all its faults, that game I felt like had
a more current story happening.
Right, like things happen in actual time and whatever. Like, if it were me, I would have actually set Breath of the Wild story 100 years ago, just like set it there. Because, mm-hmm. and you would have lost the new champions, but like, you could have just introduced him to Tears of the Kingdom, and that would have been totally fine, I feel like. Mm-hmm. So, I would have actually introduced, like, I would have just kept it to 100 years ago, and that would have been a more compelling plot. But, yeah, I think that, like, I like the plot of Breath of the Wild for what it is, but I certainly wouldn't say that it's better than, like, I mean, Skyward Sword has a fantastic plot, I think. Again, very subjective, but, like, I mean, even Ocarina of Time, I think, has a fantastic plot. And, you know, there's probably a few other games that I would probably rank personally above Breath of the Wild. Even, you know, even A Link Between Worlds, I'd probably say, for me, I enjoyed the plot a little more because it had a cool, like, ending twist on it that mm-hmm. that I thought was good. So,
yeah. I don't know if we're, like, quite understanding where Michael is going with this, but for the statement itself, Breath of the Wild had the strongest story of any Zelda game. I just wouldn't agree. I think that's a hotter... It's very mid to me as far as all the other Zelda games with their story progression and
yeah.
the strength of their story.
Okay, so we've got... we got a couple left, actually. We've got a lot. Jeez, we got like a ton left, actually. So we better burn some rubber here.
Shoot.
Okay. So,
a two-parter?
I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. This is from Shaquille. Princess Zelda in Twilight Princess is pointless. I'm going to play the neutral.
Okay.
I think I'm going to play. Let her cook.
Let her cook.
okay. Let's read some of what Princess Zelda's. Falls are in Twilight Princess, according to Shaquille. So, honestly, to me, she's kind of just shoehorned into the story, and I feel like Link and Midna could have prevailed without her. Sure, she does save Midna after the Twilight Princess is ambushed by Zant, but she does ride Epona with Link and shoot arrows at Ganondorf like a boss in the endgame. But the character falls flat to me. I really disagree.
Yeah, I get it. And, like, I do really like... this iteration of Zelda in terms of, like, how she looks.
Yeah.
How she, like, tried to make the best decision for her kingdom. You know, Zant the Usurper came in and threatened everybody, and she's like, the only thing I could do now is just become his prisoner and let him do what he needs to. I think that there is some point to her, so I would go close to the Gerudo Hot because, like, she urges... Midna to take action, and then she does save Midna with her own basic energy and stuff, and she does have a cool point at the end. But like, otherwise, like, the story isn't about Zelda as much as it has been in other games. It's about Midna, so like, she doesn't have a lot of point, and they could have taken her out. I think
I think that if you did not include Princess Zelda in Twilight Princess, nothing would change. Like realistically speaking, she's not a love interest. She's not a damsel in distress. She's very much like a periphery character. Like mm-hmm. basically a slightly more expanded role than she had in Majora's Mask, which was basically nothing.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't disagree with that. Like, I don't think the story is worse because Princess Zelda is there necessarily. Like, although mm-hmm. I do sometimes think that it's a little bit goofy that she shows up at the end under Ganon's control after, like, she sacrificed her life or whatever for Midna. Yeah. But, like, and I think people will point to, like, well, if she hadn't done that, then Midna wouldn't have changed and wouldn't have, you know, had underwent her character arc, and I think she still would have anyways, just by virtue of just being with Link and seeing his heroic and mm-hmm. selfless deeds. I think that's a perfectly acceptable tale to me. Let Shaquille cook. I don't think she's wrong.
I don't think she's wrong either. I feel like, I don't know. I do wonder, like, if you took Zelda out of this, like, you probably could have found alternatives to what Zelda does in this story.
All right.
I do like how she looks, though. She looks awesome in this game.
She looks cool. Yeah, no doubt about it. One of the few characters that do in Twilight Princess. Okay, you ready for this? The Wind Waker's Triforce Shard Quest is all about enjoying the adventure, not getting irritated by the grind. This is from the Eternal Optimist, Kristen Rosario.
Uh-huh.
I think I'm almost ready to play it if you are.
What are you going to play?
You know what I'm going to play.
I was thinking maybe Garuda Worm. You're going Elden Hot?
Yeah, you know what? I think I have to. You don't think so?
I don't think it's quite that extreme because I get where Kristen is coming from. I understand. I just personally feel, and I feel like a lot of people feel this way, that once you reach the Triforce fetch quest, you're kind of done with the game. You kind of already done a lot of exploring. You kind of are ready to go win the game. But now all of a sudden you've done all these dungeons and you're ready to go, but now you have to go put the Triforce pieces together. And if you're doing it in the GameCube version, it is horrendous. If you're doing it in the HD version, it's better. And there is quick, efficient ways of doing it, but that doesn't mean everybody knows how to do that, etc. So I would say it's warm. Like, if people want to continue playing at this point, cool. But I don't think it's quite as hot as, like, everybody hates this part of the game.
I don't think you've sold me. I think I have to play it.
Okay.
I think I have to. Here we go. One more time. Listen. This is, I appreciate the sentiment here. I do. And I can hear people already saying to me right now, oh, Andy, you like Metroid Prime and you have to go hunt all the artifacts right before the end of the game. How is this any different? Let me tell you how I believe that it's different. I think that this was so tedious in the original version. And I think that, because what you had to go... You had to go buy the chart. You had to find the charts. You had to translate them, which cost you a ton of money, which you might not have. And then you had to go and find the actual Triforce shards themselves. So I have that sequence of events, right?
Say it again.
So you have to find the treasure maps. You have to translate them from Tingle. And then you have to actually find the Triforce. That's right? Okay.
Yeah.
That's a very involved process. And you don't really get any hints like you do in Metroid Prime. Metroid Prime will tell you exactly what room, or it'll give you a clue what room, where to look for these artifacts. This is just a grind. Like, it really is, and it's much more involved than mm-hmm. Metroid Prime. And I think that by virtue that, like, Nintendo went out of their way to fix this as much as they did in the HD version kind of tells you all you need to know about how a lot of people view the Triforce quest in Wind Waker. Listen, I get it. I totally get it. Like, but I think you also have to say to yourself, like, okay, if I can explore Breath of the Wild's Hyrule for 100 hours, never get bored, never complain, nothing. I'm in love with this world and I could just go and go and go and enjoy the scenery. But I hate taking 2-3 hours in the Wind Waker to go and find the Triforce. Maybe that just tells you that your overworld is not very engaging and that your method of transportation is not that efficient and that you're kind of sick of sailing and looking at the blue ocean for like as as long as you do. And I like Wind Waker a lot. That's my opinion of why I'm kind of like, yeah, this is Elden Hot.
Okay. I think I could lean more into Elden Hot too, because this is what Kristen is trying to say. Before anything crazy happens, as you approach conclusion of the main story, Wind Waker wants to give you the opportunity to see everything the Great Sea has to offer, which is fair, but, and like, I think that's fair. However, they make it mandatory. So, like, yeah. In Breath of the Wild, you don't have to go look for every single Korok, but the purpose of the Korok seeds is so that you will go explore Hyrule to its, like, almost completion, basically.
Yeah.
And it's optional. It's not part of the main story. Like, you have to go collect 900 Koroks before you can get to Ganon at the end. Yeah. So, I would lean more into Elden Hop because I do, like, I agree with what Kristen's trying to say, but I don't think it gets there because it's mandatory.
I just don't think I agree with it. And let me ask you a question. You're more well-versed in Wind Waker than I am. Like, how many, in the base game, how many pieces of the Triforce can you get before you start this quest?
I have no idea. I actually don't know. I don't think I get a lot of pieces because I've speedrun this game quite a bit, and like it's pretty close to the end where you can only like where you can get things. So I don't really remember, to be honest.
One last kind of defense I'll give Metroid Prime is that at pretty much the beginning of the game, you get the hints as to where all of the artifacts are. So you can collect them as you go. Mm-hmm. Whereas like in Wind Waker, you do not, and you get them at the tail end of the game. And I saw our pal Rodrigo compare the Triforce quest to Metroid Prime 2 in getting artifacts, which is much more of a pain in the butt. And I think that's actually a fair comparison. I would mm-hmm. tend to agree with that. And that's the worst part of that game. So like I think that it's not great. Okay. Here we go. You ready? This is from Rod Lloyd. Mr. Lloyd, this goes out to you. Ballad of the Goddess is a bad song. Hold on, Al. Don't say anything. I've got the perfect sound for us here. Let's go. Holy moly, that's a bad take. Jeez Louise.
Oh this, my god, Andy.
This song is awesome. And I know music is subjective and what I said about country music or whatever, but like, come on, give your head a shake. If you hear Ballad of the Goddess and you don't get like a little bit excited, you might not have a pulse. You might not. You might be cold-blooded. You might be an amphibian. Amphibian? Is that the right word?
I don't know, but I'm trying to read Rod's justification. It's like, no amount of bombast and bigness can save a deficient melody. Oh, dang. Like, this is hardcore down here.
My man hates Skyward Sword so much that he's coming out here and he's trying to tell us that Ballad of the Goddess, one of the most celebrated songs in this Zelda business.
Winner of Musical March Madness, what, 2 years ago? 3 years ago now?
Yes. Ay, ay, ay. Give your head a shake.
It's the sonic equivalent of a drunk man stumbling after each and every step. What the heck, Ron?
This is bad. This is real bad. I don't know what to say. I would expect this kind of malfeasance out of, like, Corey Richmond. I don't know if I was expecting this out of Rod Lloyd. I told him I was gonna roast him too. I was like, dude, what? Let's move on. Let's go to the next one.
We gotta go to the next one.
This is from Brandon. I like the one and done nature of Twilight Princess's dungeon items.
Okay, I feel like that's neutral.
I think that's neutral.
Me.
Let's let them cook.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people do complain about it. Like, oh, you get the Dominion Rod, you only use it like one time. I get, and the spinner, like, I get it. There is some overworld use, but like, I understand where they're coming from. But I think like that's kind of the purpose, and therefore you get some uniqueness out of Twilight Princess instead of, oh, here's another bow, here's another boomerang, here's so I would agree, but I think it's pretty neutral.
Yeah, I think you summed it up perfectly. I think a lot of people don't like this. You know, like you said, as the years go on, I do like it a lot, actually. Like, I don't really care that you don't use them in the overworld. Like, as long as they're useful for a fun dungeon, like the spinner comes to mind and that's okay. I feel totally fine with that. As long as I get a great boss fight and as long as I get a great dungeon out of the dungeon item, I'm totally cool with that. That's great. Like, I actually completely agree with Brandon. And I think that that's, like, you know, one of the one of the big critiques against Twilight Princess, and I like the more I think about it, the more I don't think that that should be a valid critique. But I mean, you know, I get it. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, let the man cook. Okay. Here we go. I see Alex has popped up in our chat here, actually, and I'm sure she was waiting for this.
She's waiting for it.
And I knew as soon as I saw a hot take article, I was like, you know what? My pal Alex, who is in wonderful Calgary, Alberta right now, is going to take this opportunity to take a big fat dump on Ocarina of Time. I was ready for it. But I do have to admit, I was surprised by her choice of hot take. So let's just go here. Ocarina of Time is only good as a randomizer. Ah! One more time.
Ah! I'm assuming
make
that
it three.
Ah! I'm assuming this is the Elden hot take, right?
Yeah, this is an Elden hot take. This is, I mean, listen, it's... Again, highest rated game of all time for like the past 26 years. I think there's got to be something there. Voted 5 years in a row, basically ever since we've done Best Zelda Ever as the best Zelda game ever. I think there's got to be something there. I will say, though, it's a very fun randomizer.
Yeah, we played the randomizer on this show.
We did. And yeah. It wasn't the greatest podcast episode, I don't think, but it was a fun video episode.
It's actually surprising how much, like, positive feedback I've seen on those episodes. Because to us, we were like, this is a struggle to record this as a podcast, but people really liked it.
I mean...
I guess.
Maybe we should continue that one day. I've still got the save file.
Yeah, that might be fun someday to do. I will say, like... Just to prove that, like, you know, Heather did have a point. Some people get really up in arms about Ocarina of Time. I'm not going to totally bash Alex for her opinion. But I do think that the younger generation might not understand Ocarina of Time like we do. Like, those who grew up with it. I'm going to sound like...
Get off my lawn!
But I'm just saying... Ocarina of Time walked so Breath of the Wild could run. I'm just saying, like, Breath of the Wild would never exist without Ocarina of Time's phenomenal innovation to video games. So
I still think Ocarina of Time runs, though, man. I really do. And you know, there's an analogy here. We had a long discussion in Discord about this the other day, and so Alex has given us the history of Baskin Robbins here.
Yeah, this is actually
good. I don't
cool.
know if we have Baskin Robbins. Maybe we do. I'm just not a big ice cream guy, so maybe, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so she's like, Ocarina of Time is vanilla flavored. It's a classic, good tasting backup that's sweet and yummy, but still leaves something to be desired. You know, Alex, you're almost right. You're almost right, but you're not. You know what Ocarina of Time is? Ocarina of Time is like a good chocolate flavored ice cream. So it's not vanilla, but it's chocolate. Again, classic, simple, but beloved, eternal and timeless, because it's just like, who doesn't like chocolate ice cream? Nobody doesn't like chocolate ice cream. Maybe there are some freaks out there that don't, but like, whatever, Ocarina of Time isn't for everybody. It's chocolate ice cream, man. And yeah, you can go, you know, you get Link's Awakening and maybe that sherbet. You get Twilight Princess, it's black licorice flavored and nasty. You get Breath of the Wild, and it's like you're eating an entire jug of ice cream rather than just like a cone. Ocarina of Time is just like a classic chocolate double scoop, man. That's what it is.
Yeah,
and it will always be in style because of that. Always.
I mean, I don't think you're wrong. I personally, to me, it equated to cookies and cream. Like, Nintendo was like, let's take this video game formula, add some cookie pieces to really shake it up. And then the rest of the game industry was like, oh man, okay, let's get some Rocky Road in there. Let's get some Reese's Pieces in there. And that's how...
No Reese's
Pieces. Reese's Pieces.
I just saw Alex.
Oh yeah, you can't have
Twilight Princess is like peanut butter. Well, go fair, because I'm allergic to peanut butter. So.
I'm just saying, like,
I get
again, Ocarina of Time walks so everybody else can run. That's how it is.
I would personally say that my favorite flavor of ice cream is actually cookies and cream.
Mm-hmm.
What, do you have a... Yeah, okay.
I would say cookies and cream, but sometimes I juggle with cookie dough.
Let me ask you this. as a sidebar here. We're just going to finish. We had two more hot takes, by the way. We'll just finish it. Let me ask you this. Have you ever heard of Tiger ice cream? I found out that it's actually only a Canadian thing the other day.
I've never heard of it. When you said Tiger, because I saw you do this in the chat, when you said Tiger ice cream, I thought it was going to be like stripes, so I thought it was like swirl ice cream, like vanilla chocolate swirl.
No, so it's like, it's orange and black, which is why it's called Tiger, and the black is for black licorice, and actually, I don't remember what the orange is, to be honest with you, because I hate Tiger ice cream, because I hate black licorice. I think that is just the nastiest stuff in the world. So yeah, and I see my wife in comments here being like, yeah, Tiger ice cream, great. So for, I don't know, for all you people that enjoy black licorice out there, those are like the people that are like, yeah, Triforce Heroes is an awesome game. It's better than Ocarina of Time. And you know what? God bless you. If you feel that way, there's more Tiger ice cream for you. There's more chocolate and cookies and cream ice cream for me. So everybody wins. So that's great. Okay. Let us move on here. And if you ever want us to finish that randomizer, let us know. Well, I'd like to gauge interest here. Because I think we were stuck. We did Dodongo's Cavern, but we didn't do Jabba Jabba's Belly. I don't think.
I'm pretty sure we finished like the child portion, but I could be wrong.
I don't know. Let us know if you want to see that continue. Okay, we have two more, and then we're done. This is from Nicole. Everybody thinks Revali is a jerk, but he's one of the most compelling characters in the entire Zelda series. I would like to play, for your consideration here, Al, the Hebra Ice Cold theme.
Wow, really?
I would, yeah.
Okay.
What are you thinking?
Why? Well, I personally love this take. I've always been on, like, Camp Revali is not as bad as everybody thinks he is. You know?
Right.
But I didn't think that would be, like, an icy take for... Because I feel like most people are like, he's an arrogant jerk. I hate him. He's such
How about we meet in the middle?
You know what? Huh? We'll meet in the middle as neutral?
Yeah.
Okay.
A couple of...
I was going to go with Ice Arrow Garuda sounds Worm. Here.
Or, you're going with Garuda Worm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here, let me... I guess I'll give you my rationale. Because I think what Nicole has done is given two separate statements here that can both be true at the same time. Like, Revali is kind of a jerk, and I think a lot of people do think that he's a jerk, and that's fine, but he can exist as a jerk, but also be a very compelling character, which I would agree that he is. I think he's kind of an ass, but I think he's a compelling character, and he has, like, a little bit of inferiority complex inside of him that does make him compelling, but he's kind of an ass. So, like, I think that...
She also says the most compelling character in the entire Zelda series, and I feel like that's a little overboard.
Well, but he said that he's one of the most compelling characters. If it was the most...
Yeah.
That's... Yeah, I don't think so, but, like... I don't know. I think that that's... I think that's fine. Like, I do think that he is a compelling character. He's one of probably the most interesting characters in Breath of the Wild, I would say.
I feel I will forever be disappointed that Nintendo didn't give us more, because obviously he's got a chip on his shoulder and I want to know why, and they didn't tell us. But also I learned that Revali has the cheek blushes, which means he's still young, like, really? Compared to other Rito. So he's still like a little young kind of fleshling or whatever they call him in the Rito village, but he's like so skilled, and I'm like, where does all this, like, hardcore, if I'm not doing the best, I'm not good enough, coming from? Like, I wanted to know so much more about him, and that's why he's compelling. But we didn't quite get it, I don't think. We just kind of got to see most of the jerk arrogancy from him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, I was going to say ice cold, because I don't know. Like, I think that people do acknowledge that he's, like, a jerk, but also say, like, you know, cool character as well. Maybe I'm wrong there, like, maybe, but I don't know. I just feel like I read this and I was like, yeah.
I feel like I'm constantly defending Revali, so I always thought that people were like, no, he's just a jerk.
Yeah, but like I guess, again, for me, like I think that those statements can be, they run concurrent to each other. Like, he can be a jerk, but he can also be compelling. So, like, to me, it's like when you like a good villain, right? Like, I'm playing Final Fantasy VII, the OG, right now, and it's like, Sephiroth is awesome. He's not a good person. He's a jerk. Those could be running parallel to each other,
true,
right?
True.
That was my thought. Okay, this is the last one. And we're going to end on, I don't know, I hate to say this, Leslie, but I think that this one's kind of a stinker here because I don't even understand. But here we go. Majora's Mask was a hot, glitchy mess that only got popular because of creepypastas and fan theories. I'd like to play that sound, Al, if you would,
okay,
if you would indulge
it.
Me. Okay, here we go.
Go for it.
One more time. It keeps going. Oh my god. It's just when you think it's about to stop. That's good stuff. What does this even mean? What the hell is... I know that I'm going to sound like I'm like Monk Maz Kashia Ancient here, but like, what the hell is creepypasta? Like, that was like an early internet thing, right? Like,
yeah. Listen, I don't understand the full extent of creepypasta, but like, I know it's kind of like a... Actually, I don't know. I don't want to like say what I think it is and then sound dumb later, but it is like... To me, it feels like an ancient internet reference, and like people would like make creepy stories, if I'm remembering this right. Huh. And I don't understand that. I think this is wrong. I think that Majora's Mask is actually a wonderful, awesome game.
Yeah.
It just had a gimmick that a lot of people didn't like. But I think it was one of those things that people didn't like initially, just like Wind Waker. When it came out, people hated it initially. But then they got to play it, and they were like, this is actually a very fantastic game.
So, listen. I think that I can't think of any glitches in Majora's Mask. I can't think of anything.
Or
so, like,
it being a mess, either.
No.
Like, it's pretty polished.
It's a Zelda game.
Yeah.
There aren't... I'm sorry. Triforce Heroes aside... There are not Zelda games that are, like, technically messy and glitchy. Like, yes, there are some things in Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. Of course, they're big open-world games. But, like, those have a level of polish that other open-world games dream about. Like, even playing Horizon a couple weeks ago. Like, that game has a ton of glitches. Now, they're not game breakers or whatever. But, like, comparatively speaking to Tears of the Kingdom, like, Tears of the Kingdom was so much more polished, and, like, so I don't know, I've played Majora's Mask, like, multiple, probably 100 times, maybe not 100, but, like, I've played that game a lot, and, I don't see anything other than, like, what I would expect, and that is a standard, polished, well-produced, well-put-together Zelda game with a challenging gimmick, to your point, and I would suggest that Majora's Mask was popular long before Creepypasta, whatever the hell that is, came out. And because I just did a quick little look-see here, and like that came out in, like, I don't know, 2010?
Mm-hmm.
Like Majora's Mask had been out for a hot 10 years, and it was pretty popular before then. So like...
I want to point out that Leslie put a lot of work in like sources and citing into like her point, and there are things where like she says like Ben drowned or the Link is dead theory, like those do trigger things in my memory, but it's never on the level of what like Majora's Mask, the original experience of Majora's Mask, triggers in my memory. Like, I do remember those being internet oddities, but I don't. Personally, maybe I just didn't run in those internet circles back in the day. Like, it just wasn't something that would ever, in my brain, compute, like,
no
equality to Majora's Mask popularity.
No, Majora's Mask was already popular. Like, I don't know what to tell you there. Like, it certainly did not gain popularity because of a 2011 Zelda Informer thread, you know, on the forums. Now, granted, like, this is a classic thread that I think a lot of people would realize how the Majora's Mask is kind of like a metaphor in a way for the five stages of grief, and I think that's a well-sourced theory and a well-sourced formula. But like, again, that came out in 2011, and like the MatPat game theory video came out way after. Like, Majora's Mask was already huge by that time, and it, I'm sorry, it wasn't glitchy. It just wasn't. Mm-hmm. That's just not true. I don't... Maybe we played a different game. Maybe you played without the expansion pack. I don't even know if you can play without the expansion pack, but, like... I don't know.
I don't know. That's a hot take. That's a
hot take. That's Elden... That's Eldon Hot, Leslie, and I respect the hell out of you for that. I'll tell you what, I respect that one more than Ballad of the Goddess is bad. That's just...
Yeah.
Oh, that's God. Bad. That's bad. That's so bad. All right, well, there it is. That is the end of our Zelda Dungeon Staff's hot takes. And listen, we beat up on a few of you here today, but it really takes a lot of guts to put that into the world, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's because you had really good hot takes.
Yeah, like, yeah, I totally.
Which was the point of the assignment, so.
Yeah, everybody gets an A+. I thought that it was a fantastic article. I thought it was edited well. I thought that it was the image that Heather made was awesome. yeah. I love Lincoln in his sunglasses there. It looks fantastic. So this was a really well done article. Definitely you got to check it out. We'll link the article in the description here. Go and read and, you know, see for yourself and tell us what you agree with and tell us what you don't agree with here. You know, I was thinking too, like, I don't think we said on the last show and I don't think we said on this show either, like our own personal hot takes. I think we've said it before, right?
We've done our own before. Personal hot takes?
Yeah. Have we done that?
I don't know. I don't know if I really have a lot, to be honest.
I kind of feel like similarly. I don't know. Maybe that Mulgara is not a very good song. I think that's...
Oh, yeah. That is a hot take for us. Yeah.
I think that Twilight Princess is Ugly used to be a hot take, but I don't think it is anymore. Clearly, as other writers have jumped onto that bandwagon. But we'll have to put ourselves out there one day so that other people can critique us because it's you know, it's pretty easy for us to sit here and play funny sounds. But no, this was a great article. Everybody did a great job, and hey, they did our job for us. They provided us with lots of good stuff to talk about here, and we're gonna do this again because I love this. I love the hot takes.
Yeah, it's such a fun time.
It's good.
I think maybe next time we should do something like one Zelda game specific or something like that. Like, narrow it down.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I like that a lot. Maybe we'll even throw Alex a bone and say we'll do Ocarina of Time hot takes.
I love it.
You know what? I think we should do that maybe over the next couple of months. All right. So there it is. Once again, go check out the article. Thank you to all of our staff. Thank you to all of our editors for throwing this together and making a lovely article for us to dissect here this week. And I hope that you guys enjoyed it, and I hope that you guys had a fun time listening to some of these goofy sounds that we found. Okay, that is going to do it for us, my friends. We are going to get out of here. Of course, we're going to be back next week talking. I don't even know if I actually should say what we're going to talk about, because every time
maybe
I do,
not.
No.
Yeah, okay. We don't. We skip it.
We'll have a podcast next week. That's all you need to know. Until then, we are going to get out of here. We want you to check us out wherever you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe, recommend, rate, review, all of that fun stuff. If you've got a Zelda fan in your life, tell them where they can get their weekly Zelda fix. Check us out over on social, at the ZeldaCast, at Spiteri316, at Allison Aletha. And, you know, I don't even think we mentioned it once this show yet. So, did you know we have a Patreon over on patreon.com/SPNet, where you can get bonus episodes about the Zelda cartoon and bonus episodes where Al and I rank stuff over on ZeldaCast Top 10s. It's a fun time, so go check that out. And hey, if you like too, there's lots of other stuff there as well. So take a quick perusal and see what you like, see what you don't like. And then lastly, is that we just want to wish everybody an awesome weekend. I thought we had something else to plug, but I don't think we do. I think that's it. So I think we're good.
Yep.
All right. Well, there it is, everybody. Take care. We'll see you back here next week, where we're hoping to kick it old school. So until then, everybody, ciao.